Fleischman's Yeast Hour, presenting a variety program directed by Rudy Vallee.
Cast tonight includes
Miss Libby Holman,
the star of the first Little Show, who, after several years in retirement, returns to Broadway this season in Revenge with Music.
The Yacht Club Boys,
smoothest of nightclub gleemen, just in from London and bound for Miami tonight.
Johnny Burke,
vaudeville and screen short comedian, in his well-known Doughboy monologue, Drafted.
Walter Connolly,
tonight's Hollywood visitor, the star of Whom the Gods Destroy and The Captain Hates the Sea. Tonight's musical program is taken in its entirety from the score of our picture, Sweet Music, beginning with the tune you listeners have chosen as the title song. The winner, Sweet Music Number One, by Harry Warren and Al Dubin. Thousand of you wrote to us expressing your preference regarding the two Sweet Music tunes. The Warren Dubin effort won by a small margin and consequently goes into the final cut of the picture. At the Hollywood Restaurant, I've been asking our audiences nightly to tell me by applause which they prefer. The results of our investigation were most curious. We found that the composition played and sung last received the greatest applause, which is a psychological phenomenon worthy of a bit of thought by those of you who are interested in mass reaction. Private Johnny Burke, the wandering doughboy. Johnny is known to vaudeville, review, and screen audiences practically everywhere for the sympathetic, humorous soldier character he created shortly after the war. You saw him, no doubt, in a great many Max Sennett comedies between 1925 and 29. We had hoped to have Johnny with us the week of Armistice Day, but he was in New York and we were in Hollywood. Taking no further chances, we seized the opportunity to bring you Johnny Burke in his famous monologue, Drafted. Mr. Burke in uniform.
When they called for able-bodied men to march away to war, I was standing on the corner of the street. When a man from the draft board said, "What are you waiting for?" Standing on the corner of the street. So he took me from the corner of the street, and he dressed me in a uniform so neat. He put me on a horse's back to teach me how to ride. When I fell off, the riding master came to me and cried, "How did you get in this army?" I just looked at him and sighed. I was standing on the corner of the street. You know, as soon as I found out that this country was in danger, I rushed down the draft board just as slow as I could to see if I could get in the Navy. The line outside was so long, I thought before they could reach my turn, the war would be over. But I hardly stepped in the line when they opened the door and said, "John Burke, you're next." The man sitting at the desk looked at me and said, "Are you John Burke?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "What's your name?" I said, "August Schultz." He said, "Are you alien?" I said, "No, I feel fine." He said, "Answer the question, August. Where were you born?" I said, "I was born in Pittsburgh." He says, "When did you first see the light of day?" I said, "When we moved to Philadelphia." He said, "What I'm trying to find out is how old you are." I said, "I'll be 26, the 1st of September." He said, "The 1st of September, you'll be in France. That'll be the last of August." Then the veterinary started to examine me. Put his ear on my chest. He listened a while. He said, "My boy, I think you have a wart on your heart." I said, "A wart on my neck. That's my button in your ear." He wrote down about 150 diseases. He says, "My boy, I've examined about 14,000 men in this division, but without a doubt, you are the most perfect physical wreck of all of them." Then he handed me a class 1A card. I arrived at the camp, and I guess the fellow at the gate didn't think I'd live long either. He stuck a label on my coat that said, "Flying Corpse." Another big fresh guy standing there said, "Look what the wind's blowing in." I said, "The wind isn't doing this at all. It's the draft that's doing it." I was so disgusted that night, I got a big bottle of whiskey and a fellow named Jones and I drank it. When it was finished, I saw something wrong with Jones. I went down to the doctor. I said, "Doctor, you better come up and see Jones here. I think he's going blind." He said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, we had a bottle of whiskey and we drank it." He says, "Does he see pink elephants running around the bed?" I said, "No, that's the trouble. They're there, but he don't see them." 3 days later, we sailed for France. Marching down the pier to go on board the boat, I had more hard luck. The sergeant that was marching my company, he stuttered. He couldn't say halt quick enough, and 12 of us marched overboard. I was out on that boat 12 days, seasick, leaning over the rail all the time. One morning early, I felt terrible. I was leaning extra far. And right in the middle of one of my best leans, the captain of the boat rushed up, hit me on the back, and said, "What company are you in?" I said, "I'm by myself." He said, "Don't get mad. What I want to find out is the brigadier up yet?" I said, "If I swallowed it, it's up." That afternoon, all of a sudden, the boat stopped. The fellow rushed up to me and said, "We've dropped the anchor." I said, "I knew they'd lose it. It's been hanging outside since we left New York." Another fellow rushed up and said, "Get in the lifeboat. You're torpedoed." The lifeboat I got in upset as it hit the water. The only ones left in there was a second lieutenant and me. Right away, he started giving me orders. He said, "Reach over there," and the boys come up, grab him by the hair of the head, and pull him into the boat. Well, I was doing this, and one fella came up bald-headed. He hollered, "Help me." I said, "You get down, come up right." Well, we landed in France. They sent us right to the trenches. The third night in the trenches, a real trouble started. The guns began to go off. The shells started to bust. My feet wouldn't move. My knees were knocking together with patriotism. I tried to hide in a shell hole, but there wasn't enough shell holes for the officers. And the captain rushed in and said, "Boys, 5 o'clock in the morning, the battle starts. We go over the top." I said, "Captain, can I speak to you a minute?" He said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want a furlough." "Where do you want to go?" I said, "Someplace where it's not so noisy." Then he told me where I could go. And next morning, I almost went there. 5 o'clock, over the top we went. About 150 of us, and here come 10,000 Austro-Hungarians all looking at me. Well, you'd think I started the war. They got about 20 yards in front of us, and our captain hollered, "Fire at will." Well, I didn't know any of their names. I guess one of our fellas behind me thought I was Will. He got monkey with his gun and shot me in the excitement. I woke up in the hospital. The first thing I noticed was a fella moving my bed. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm taking you to the morgue." Well, I sat right up in the bed and said, "There's some mistake. I'm not dead." He said, "Lay down. Do you want to make a fool out of the doctor?"
over again with you. I'll never let our love grow old. I'll always keep it new. Every day I'll let you know that my Valentine is you. We'll live the sweetest story told, like honeymooners do. And each thing I do, I'll do to prove to you that romance never will die. It may be a word or a sigh, a gift that I'll bring, and as the years go by, every day I'll fall in love all over again with you. I'll never let our love go old. I'll always keep it new.
Again, may I venture this prediction that this composition by Sammy Fain and Irving Kale will be the most popular of the songs from the score of Sweet Music. It's called Every Day. An old standby, the presentation of which has been one of my chief delights for the last 6 years. Written by a member of the Connecticut Yankees, it has afforded us no end of fun at many of our dances and nightclub work. We included it in the picture of Sweet Music. It gave me a chance for three characterizations. Fred Allen, a Yes, We Have No Bananas, Italian Immigrant, and the non-existent English Fox. It is called Outside. A pal of mine went calling on his girl last night. The rain began to fall and fall. It rained with all its might. I met my pal this morning. He said, did you get wet? He looked at me and said, oh, gee, you ain't heard nothing yet. Outside, the rain was pouring down. I felt mighty blue. Outside, the wind was howling down. She felt lonesome, too. Outside, we heard the thunder crash. She looked at me and sighed. Though she knew it wasn't right, he let me stay all night. Yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
Outside.
Outside. Hello? Yes, this is Detective Fred Allen speaking.
What's that? Your wife swallowed some camera film? Well, let me know if anything develops. You want me to trail a hula dancer? I'll watch every move she makes. She's gone to a nudist camp, and you want me to disguise myself? I get it. I get it. I'll be detective inside and a little bear outside.
Outside the dock.
Yes, that to me.
Yes, Tony. Take it to kids in Scabuccia. Outside.
With Anthony.
Mariucci.
Pasquale Giuseppe hand the bigger jaw. For 50 minutes, I say, and that I was to come back. It's a twin, the doc, he cried.
Hey, while you're okay, far, I say. It's a good thing I know say all the day.
All the day!
Outside.
Now outside,
her husband had come back.
The most unexpected.
Outside, the valley door began to crack. He must have lost his jolly key.
Outside, he shouted, who are you?
Oh, I'm selling ice, I cried. Nobody said it isn't fair, because we've got a frigid air. Sell your ice.
Sell your ice.
Outside.
Theatergoers first heard the deep, different, somehow compelling voice of Libby Holman in the first Little Show, a memorable affair which also included the talents of Fred Allen and Clifton Webb. Miss Holman returns to the Broadway spotlight this season in Revenge with Music, written by the Little Show collaborators, Arthur Schwartz and Howard Deep. She sings for us first a number from the show, When You Love Only One. Miss Libby Holman.
And it will ever be so, I know, I know. When you have no one, there's a cloud on the sun. When you have two, you don't know what can be done. But you are happy when you love only one, and when only one loves you.
The hits
song of the first little show, the song that will always mean Libby Holman to all the world, Moanin' Low.
Moanin' low, my sweet man, I love him so, though he's mean as can be. He's a kind of man, needs a kind of woman like me. I'm gonna die if sweet man should pass me by. If I die, will he be? He's a kind of man, needs a kind of woman like me. Oh, I don't know any reason why he treats me so poorly. What have I gone and done? Make my trouble double with his worries when surely I ain't deserving of none. I'm rolling low, sweet man is gonna go. If he goes, oh Lordy, he's a kind of man, he's a kind of woman like me. La da 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 da, la la da da, da da di 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 di, la na la la da da da.
WEAF, New York.
Sequence from Sweet Music, which takes place in Central Park. The Yankees and I are playing a concert at a tree planting ceremony, a sort of Arbor Day celebration. It is in this sequence that I sing, assisted by the Dudley Chambers Chorus, and tonight by the Keys of Etterate, The Good Green Acres of Home. The skies for the hearts that return to the fold. From the hours of toil that flower the soil with green and gold. Gray is the joy when you've something to have and to hold in the land of my humble birth. Give me my place on earth. Let me stand with the grip of the plow in my hand on the good green acres of home, my land, where a friend is treasured and your wealth is measured by the strength of heart. And the hand, let me live with the sun and the wind and the rain, while I plant my acres with golden grain. Let me build my love nest with a stick and a stone.
on the good green acres of a home, my home, the good green acres of a home.
Let me stand with the grip of the plow in my hand
on the good green acres of home, my
called because they once saw a yacht. They come to us directly from the Café de Paris in London, and they leave directly after the hour for Bonnie Gallant's new nightclub in Miami. Adler, Kelly, Kern, and Mann, the Yacht Club Boys.
Take a look at us, ain't we the screwy-looking guys? People say we're insane, you can see it in our eyes. We live up in the crazy house, the lovely state of Maine. We've been there since the court to judge the four of us insane. We're loony and we like it, and so what? If we were sane, we wouldn't have what we've got. We never do a stitch of work, and we get three meals a day. If you call that being crazy, that's the way we want to stay. We have a cozy little room, and there ain't no rent to pay. We're glad because we're lunatics, hooray, hooray, hooray. We lounge around the whole day long and just enjoy our lives. And we never have to listen to the nagging of our wives. They don't make us pay income tax, we take no salary cuts. So if everybody else is saying we're glad that we went nuts. We're nuts, nuts, nuts. We're nuts, nuts, nuts.
I am Dr. Einstein. I'm a scientist of nose.
Shuffle, toodaloo, and shove off.
If you get it close to me, I'll explain to you the many books that I wrote. You've heard of relativity. Relativity is the sense to comprehend. It simply means the beginning and the starting is the end. For example, six parallel lines can never come together. And if they meet, they go out to eat. Don't you get it, Univeto? If down is open, up is down, and sideways, there's no doubt. It's true, because I don't know what the devil I'm talking about.
You are better than by your soul.
They think we're crazy, but we're fooling all these guys.
They don't know that what I really am is a pork chop in disguise.
I'm a poached egg, and I've searched all over town for a piece of dry toast. I'm a little tired. I want to lie down.
We both were in the market back in 1929.
Yes, I must have owned a million shares of steel.
I owned the diamond mine.
Ah, but then the market broke and things began to get so bad.
Well, here's a little idea of just what drove us mad.
Steel. 100.
The panic's on.
Steel. 90.
We're gone. Steel.
80. Steel.
They're gonna fall.
Steel. Everything.
I need more cash.
50. The market's going to crash.
Steel. 40. I sold them short. Wait a minute, boys. Look at that tape. Steel. 90.
Ah, I should have bought.
That's why we're mad. That's why we're glad. We must be off the Buffalo on our trusty old giraffe. To cut Niagara Falls into a thousand shower baths. You'll be with us eventually on that you can't rely. So come on, let's all go crazy. That's a madman's lullaby.
Thank
the Prince of Wales' favorite song.
Never will I forget the day.
Narai, when it wakes the Duke of Mandalay. Said, boys, I wish you'd come and stay at my hunting lodge with me.
I'll never forget the way we dressed.
Narai, our hunting pants were neatly pressed. We looked the best of any guest in a blooming company.
Crocker.
I resemble Buffalo Bill. One look at me and you could see that we were dressed to kill. We had a suit for foxes and a different suit for birds. We didn't look like hunters do, but we looked too cute for words. Riding over hill and dale, following the old fox trail. The master of the hound cried out, the dogs about the scent. The hound full of his strange at us, we wondered what the master meant. Riding over hill and dale, how the wind began to wail.
Our horses took the hurdles like a flock of homing geese.
They shook out all our brickwork and our trousers lost their crease. And now we're taking nourishment from off the mantelpiece. From riding over hill and dale, riding over hill and dale, following the old fox trail.
We saw a cunning kitten in the forest all alone. We stopped to pet the kitten there, and we're still bathing in cologne.
Riding over hill and dale, mighty hunters have our fame.
We spied a deer in front of us, and did we shoot?
Of course, then something awful happened, and it filled us with remorse.
The truth fell down its...
Hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho! A hunting we must go. When the tally ho began to blow, we were up at the break of day. So we all looked out of the window pane, the sky was cold and gray. And we looked at them, we looked at them, and nary a word was said. So we turned around, and without a sound, we all went back to bed. We finally went to breakfast, and in a complimentary way, we said, good morning, judges, what a sight you are today. You're like an ancient Rembrandt that the Duke keeps on his shelf. As the Duchess says, the Duke don't look so proud on good himself. He left us flat in the Duke, he sat and he chuckled and grunted a grunt. We said, what do you think? We'll guzzle a drink before we go out on the hunt. We're allowed, okay, we guzzled away, and for what we can recall, we got flowers together and didn't care whether we went on the hunt at all. We all went down to the kitchen, we did, we said to the butler, Lou, and just what are we having for dinner tonight? And the butler said, roast Duke.
Oh, no, you mean
roast Duck, says Lou.
Oh, no, I don't, says Lou. If the Duchess shoots and the Duke goes drunk, you jolly well get roast soup.
The hunters are ready, the dogs are steady, the foxes are well on their way.
Yes,
against the mountain we've all been caught, we're off with a hip hooray. Riding over hill and dale, you can have the old fox trail. Somebody cried, a peasant, and we took him at his word. Then he began to shoot.
I always thought a peasant was a bird.
Riding over hill and dale, mighty hunters never fail. We rode across the roaring stream when alligators fell.
The horses got excited. In a minute we were still.
Well, you know what happened then?
You're right, the four of us got killed.
Riding over hill and dale, it's a thrill that's so grand. Riding over hill and dale.
On a very swanky set of a Mayfair club, this composition is played and expressly sung by yours truly to Anne Dvorak in Sweet Music. Although we have quarreled and parted, the words of the song, as I sing them to her, convey the fact that I know that down in her heart, she feels very differently about it all. At this point, I'd like to thank Jerry Wald for the story of Sweet Music, a story that I think you'll enjoy seeing in the picture.
There's a There's a different you down in your heart you're trying to conceal. While I see you frowning, trying to look wise, there's somebody smiling through the windows of your eyes. I can overlook every fault, for I'll always understand. There's a different you down in your heart that's nothing short of grand. Oh, the stem of the rose may be thorny, the flower is tender and sweet. There's a different you in your heart that I hope someday.
Out in Hollywood, Ali Rubel played for me a little composition which struck me with its rhythmic quality and story. I suggested to the producers of the picture that we produce it in a railroad station. The Warner Brothers went me one better and spent considerable money and time on a huge set and delegated Bobby Connolly to produce Fare Thee Well, Annabelle. The following 6 minutes will give you an oral idea of what happened, but you really must see it to appreciate it. Fare thee well, Annabelle. I would like to have a little information. Have you seen Annabelle? I expected her to meet me at the station.
I don't know Annabelle.
She's a girl with a dashing way. She is dressed very smart and gay.
Would you mind introducing me? What a time we'd have in my cabriolet.
Listen, lady, to my soulful intonation. Paging Miss Annabelle. You'll be followed by a lovely aggregation when they ring that engine bell.
Take me with you. No, me.
Lisa, what is your destination? Just a nice padded cell.
I expected him to meet me at the station. Come along, through the bell. If he doesn't come, I'll die of aggravation.
Now, just be calm, Miss Annabelle.
Do you think he is leaving me flat?
Honey, my man did me like that. Took my money and jewelry, too. Hate to say it, but I still love that rat.
Can it be telephone the cancellation?
Don't give up, Miss Annabelle. Why, maybe he's in our little celebration, and he's still in some hotel.
Goodness, I'm a mess, and I'll have to change my dress.
Over here, we'll do that well.
Oh, where is the cause of all my agitation?
Step this way, Miss Annabelle.
Over the river and cheerio, my dear, here's where my journey starts. There's a teardrop glistening in your heart of hearts. Over the river and here I go, my dear. Stifle your sobs and moans. Can't you hear that whistling by Mr. Casey Jones? There's a locomotive puffing at the station. Fare thee well, Annabelle. And I know you need a little consolation. Don't pretend, I can tell. When you feel that you're out in the rain, think of me in that fullman's frame. On a cold observation car, looking for you in the dark, all in vain. I will send a telegram at every station. Fare thee well, Annabelle. And if your family wants a bit of information, say that I'm doing swell. And when I come back with a pocket full of jack, you'll have something grand to tell. Cause I'll take you on a honeymoon vacation. Fare thee well, Annabelle.
I appreciate your words of consolation.
Fare thee well, Annabelle.
But I'd rather have a Pullman reservation.
Not today, Annabelle. For I just got the price of my fare and enough for a parlor chair.
I've the price of a ticket here, even though I may go broke. I don't care.
Third time your train was pulling from the station.
Fare thee well, Annabelle.
When do we go on a honeymoon vacation?
Maybe soon, but who can tell?
Well, suppose, my dear, that while I am waiting here, I should call for someone's well.
Did you say that you can buy a reservation?
Yes.
Get on board, Annabelle. send a telegram at every station. Fare thee well, Annabelle. And if your family wants a bit of information, say that I'm doing swell. And when I come back with a pocket full of jack, you'll have something grand to tell. Cause I'll take you on a honeymoon vacation. Fare thee well, Annabelle. Wise up the cat of yours that she's moving soon to our little flat.
How my folks would love this little celebration.
Yes, they would. Walk the bell.
All your folks will start collapsing on the station when they hear that choo-choo bell.
But I just don't care because it isn't their affair.
Say, I hear that brakeman yell.
So be good and cut out all your dissertations.
May we present now Mr. Walter Connelly, veteran Broadway actor and one of the newest Hollywood stars. In our opinion and most critical summaries of the year's end agree, Mr. Connelly's work in his first starring picture, Whom the Gods Destroy, ranks among 1934's 10 best performances. More recently, you've seen him in The Captain Hates the Sea. He is in New York now to do a new play and to appear for us tonight in Arthur Caesar's well-known one-act drama, Napoleon's Barber. With Mr. Connelly, you will hear A.J. Herbert, Lester Lonergan, third, and Netta Harrigan, who in private life is Mrs. Connelly. Walter Connelly as Napoleon.
Place, the village of Plombier, just outside the city of Dijon in France. Time, in the late 1790s. Scene, the village barbershop. The barber is alone in his small establishment, pacing up and down, gesticulating wildly, and reading with great expression a poem of his own composing.
To arms, me brave! Are ye but slaves, the tool of knaves? That ye are, Napoleon lives!
Andre, will you stop that bleating?
Silence, woman! Napoleon, beware! Tyrants, have a care! Had I you in my power, I'd cut you ear from ear.
Aye, that I can believe. Some poor innocent client will be found here one day by the police, headless or earless or both, if you don't stop being a poet and a reformer of France.
There you go, defending Napoleon.
What? Defending Napoleon? I never said anything about Napoleon. What have I to do with the business of kings and emperors? I married a barber. I find I've been tricked. He's become the worst poet in France and has made a business of being Napoleon's best enemy.
Madam, you don't understand. La Belle France is in danger. A tyrant is sapping her lifeblood. Oh, if I could have him here now, I'd cut his neck from ear to ear. I would. May God help me. From ear to ear!
I beg pardon. They have tired soldiers of France to shave here.
Hey? Oh, good day, my friend. Certainly. Gladly. You must be tired. Seat yourself. Here.
I am tired. War is very hard work. It is very hard for me because I don't like seeing blood. I hate red. What a short rest without anxiety and fear.
Without fear? Poor fellow. By your uniform, I judge you are just a private soldier. Do the officers beat you?
Yes, sometimes when I'm not paying attention, when I'm off guard.
Must be a hard life for you. Tomorrow you may be dead.
Poor fellow. You read the stars. Is this prediction?
I hear of men dying in the thousands. I hear strange stories of the blessing him and sends them to their death. Why? Why do they bless that butcher of men?
It is true. They bless him as they die. Why they should bless him as they die, I cannot say. I will never forget the lad who stood beside him. Messenger in one of the battles of our last campaign. He was hardly 15. A child from the Providence of Dordogne. A dispatch carrier. I saw him shot through the heart. But still grasping his message, he saluted the Emperor. God bless you, sire. Your generals are victorious. Poor lad. Why should he have died blessing that man, I wonder?
Why, indeed? That ridiculous little man.
Quite right, a nobody, a ridiculous little man, the son of a bandit, bred in a bandit cave, who walked hungry through the streets of Paris, making promises to his stomach that it would sometime be fed power. The tears which flowed down his cheeks from his sleepless eyes watered this will to power.
Ah, how well you put it. Such elegant language. You should be a journalist. Bonaparte is a traitor, too. We mustn't forget that. He betrayed the revolution.
Traitor, traitor, that's it, Barbara. He cut off the hot heads and heated the cold ones. He turned the tide of blood-stained reason from suicide to system and order. Traitor, indeed. He should be murdered in a bathtub by some kind mistress.
Or a barber shop. Oh, would it were mine.
You really hate him? You must know him well.
Know him? Know him? Ah, I certainly do. He beats his wife, hates children, insults his generals, and kills innocent soldiers for sport.
What does this monster look like who feeds on the blood of men?
Just like the devil. Short, with popping eyes, which burn into you like hot coals. A big head like a cabbage. Sometimes he looks like an imbecile, and sometimes like a bloodthirsty monster.
You know him very well. Very well. A few mistakes in observation here and there, but for the rest, you know him like a poor relation.
Oh, then you know him too.
Not too well.
You served under him?
I served for him. I was his bodyguard. I, his soul guard, too, if you please. For I saw to it, but not thought to him, which would interfere with his course for a moment.
Then you were close to him?
So near to him, I could hurt him with a word, a look. I could have permitted jealousy to smuggle its vicious sting into his consciousness, or dangerous doubting, or perhaps, the most destructive of all, indigestion. But I challenged them all.
You wear, I see, the Legion of Honor medal, which only Bonaparte can bestow. Was that your reward?
Reward was ever present in the game. The harder I watched, the greater his warning to watch harder, more carefully. The smaller the danger, the greater was my carefulness. For fate, he would say, lurks in strange places, and destiny chooses strange moments for its practical jokes.
How can he rest when he's responsible for the bloody death of thousands? His heart must be as heavy as lead.
Nearly crushed, I should think.
Oh, if only I had him here, in this chair, with this razor in my hand.
Seeing you so excited, my dear friend, about the trials of La Belle France makes me a little afraid that you might cut me.
Oh, not at all, not at all. I'm the best barber in Dijon. Besides, shaving's got nothing to do with the revolution. I keep them separate. One is an ideal and the other a job. You understand?
Except when you have Napoleon for a customer. I suppose then the ideal and the job meet.
Hey, I'm going to read you my revolutionary masterpiece.
Do you mind completing the art you have already commenced? The soap is drying on my face. May I suggest the razor before the revolution?
At once, at once. But I must drop the blade first. Listen. Napoleon, beware. Tyrant, have a care. Had I you in my power, I cut you ear from ear.
Beautiful.
Look, suppose you were me. My razor, so, across the neck. And no more Napoleon. No more tyranny. And a barber is the savior of France.
A freak stroke of fate, and a barber succeeds where kings and emperors fail. Ah, barber. Many have tried in many ways to bring the eagle down. Flying leopards, slimy things which lie awake in the still night planning the destruction of the fittest. Vultures whose claws dig deepest when one is most helpless. Dark scientists of tears and laughter study the human emotions, will, and intellect for their cowardly profit. They shall eat the entrails of the weaker great, not the truly great. For food of such caliber is too rich for their fluttering hearts.
Father, may I come in?
No, boy, no. Your father is busy, very busy.
Oh, let the lad come in. Come here to me, little boy.
Are you a soldier with Napoleon?
Yes, my little friend.
I want to be a soldier with Napoleon.
Oh, do you? Why?
I like to fight, to sleep in tents, to march to the drum.
You may be a general someday. Come closer, my general. I have something for you. Here.
Father! Father, see what I have. Look, a medal.
A medal of the Legion. But, sir, only he can do this.
give the Medal of the Legion of Honor. Are you? Who are you?
Yes. Who am I? So, your razor is now quite sharp.
It is sharp enough, sir.
You have not entirely finished. My neck here. See? It's a little rough in spots. It will not take long.
Only a moment, sir. Your head, if you please. Back. Father, there.
Why does your hand tremble, Barber? We must have no accidents. This requires willpower. I cannot be the victim of accidents. Go on, man.
My God! I can't! You're too human! I can't! You're too strong! You're the Emperor! Forgive me! I didn't mean to beat your boat! I didn't know that you were a man! I thought you were a devil! Forgive me!
Forgive you! Listen, Barber. You held the fate of France in your hands. Perhaps the entire world. And you had not the courage to go on. That, Barber, is the real difference between us. Personality, the will to power. I can forgive you your revolutionary rantings. I love those who hate me. They prove my invincibility. I'm too vain to hang my enemies. The spirit of Hannibal and Constantine, of Alexander and Caesar, live within me. I cannot hang barbers for opposing me. But listen, the next time you use the imperial name in an impossible rhyme, you have my pledge. You will hang for it. I can forgive bad shaving, treason, revolution, bad poetry, never. Good day to you, Barber.
Think of it. I've been honored by the Emperor. The Emperor.
To give you an idea how fast the new XR yeast acts, we dramatize a woman's actual experience. Show you what happened a few weeks ago to Mrs. Arthur Butcher of Toronto, Canada.
Well, Mrs. Butcher, it certainly is good to see you back on the job.
And it's wonderful to be back.
It wasn't long ago I heard you were still very weak.
Oh, I certainly was wobbly. You see, I couldn't eat.
You couldn't eat? No wonder you didn't get your strength back.
I was scared for a while. Everything I ate felt just like a lump that I couldn't digest.
Would you mind telling me, what did you do?
I just began eating the new Fleischmann's XR yeast.
And that worked as fast as that?
It made my appetite pick up right away. In 2 days, it helped my indigestion. And by the end of a week, my whole system was working right.
You really haven't looked well for years.
You know, I haven't had a cold to speak of since I began eating yeast, either.
Then maybe it's something for me to eat, too.
It's pleasant enough. It has a rich, creamy taste that I like.
All over the country, people are telling each other about the quick health benefits they've received from eating this new Fleischmann's XR yeast. That's why already more than 3 million people are eating this new, faster-acting yeast. Decide now to let it help you, too. Improve your digestion. Make your system work naturally. Give you a better complexion. Raise your resistance to colds. You can get Fleischmann's new XR yeast at grocers, restaurants, and soda fountains. Eat 3 cakes a day. You'll soon see and feel an improvement.
Every day I'll fall in love all over again with you. I'll never let our love go. I'll always keep it new. Every day I'll let you know that my Valentine is you. We'll live the sweetest story told, like honeymooners do.
Next week, the Fleischmann G-Star offers another big variety show with a cast which includes Sophie Tucker in her first radio appearance since her triumph in England. Today is Sophie Tucker's birthday, and to you, Sophie, in Chicago, we wish you many, many more happy ones. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
was announced by James Wallington. Good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
WEAS, New York.